President of the Russian Federation,
Владимир Владимирович Путин.
Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin.
Спасибо.
Thanks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, I would like to sincerely greet all participants in the International Parliamentary Conference Russia-Latin America. At the initiative of the leadership of the Russian Duma, representatives of legislative bodies and leaders of various political parties, heads of public organizations, experts and diplomats from most Latin American countries gathered in Moscow. The arrival of a representative group of legislators from Latin America expressing the will of their constituents and called upon to work in their interests is additional evidence of the desire of the peoples of our countries to develop a comprehensive mutually beneficial partnership. We are convinced that the intensification of direct dialogue through parliaments opens up very good opportunities for deepening our cooperation and expanding it through new areas of joint activity. I know that your conference has a very rich, large program. The chairman of the State Duma of Russia told me about this yesterday, and during thematic sessions and roundtables, you will discuss the role of parliamentary diplomacy in strengthening interaction between Russia and Latin American countries, and in a variety of areas, in politics, in the security sphere, in the socio-economic and humanitarian fields. I will note that Russia and the states of Latin America traditionally have a lot in common in their views on international issues. Latin Americans have always strived for independence, self-sufficiency, and the history of your continent is full of the most striking examples of this. This was the case during the period of struggle against colonialism during the time of the famous Simon Bolivar, who became a symbol of freedom not only for Latin America, but, perhaps, for the whole world, for all humanity. This was the case in the second half of the last century, when the continent gave the world such selfless fighters for justice and social equality as Salvador Allende, Ernesto Che Guevara, Fidel Castro. I must say that this applause is appropriate. As they say, this is applause that speaks of the role of the people I just named. I remember my meetings with Fidel Castro. There were several of them. It was a lump. You understand? This was a man who thought about people every second. And not only about the Cubans. He thought about all of Latin America. He thought about all the people on the planet, on Earth, and, indeed, his entire consciousness was imbued with concern for achieving the common good and justice. This was a unique personality. These are the kind of people Latin America produces. It would not be an exaggeration to say that even now Latin American countries are showing a pattern in the success of the progressive process of forming a multipolar system of international relations based on equality, justice, respect for international law and each other's legitimate interests. In such a new polycentric architecture, the states of Latin America, with their enormous economic potential and human resources, with their desire to pursue a sovereign and independent foreign policy, will play one of the leading roles in the world. There is no doubt about it, and Russia sincerely wishes that the countries of the Latin American region develop progressively and dynamically and strengthen their positions in the world economy and politics. We have advocated and advocate for Latin America in its unity and diversity to be strong, independent and successful, and for these purposes, we are ready to build interaction both on a bilateral basis and to work closely with integration associations of the Latin American region, with the community of Latin American and Caribbean states, with the Bolivarian Alliance for the Peoples of the Americas, with the South American Common Market. In particular, we will help ensure that these structures establish practical ties with the Eurasian Economic Union so that they compare approaches on current issues of trade policy, tariff regulation, investment stimulation, and technology transfer, and, of course, Russia welcomes the intentions of a number of Latin American states to join the activities of BRICS as both full members and as partners. You know, deviating from the text of this speech, I can say the following. We have different information. We have different understandings of what is happening in different countries of Latin America. And different political forces have different attitudes towards the associations that I mentioned, including the process of joining BRICS. We know all this. We know different trends in different political spheres, especially in anticipation of various political events within these countries. But BRICS is such an organization. It is not some kind of military alliance. It is simply a platform for coordinating positions and for developing acceptable, mutually acceptable solutions based on sovereignty, independence and respect for each other. And I'm just sure that whatever political parties there are in those countries that are joining now, that have already joined, that want to work with these organizations, including BRICS, no matter what happens in the political spheres and in these political parties, everyone will still be forced to focus on the mood of the people and the mood of the voter in the broad sense of the word in all Latin American countries is such that they strive for freedom and independence. And all countries and political parties in the Latin American region will have to take this into account. And this means that, in essence, of course, we will cooperate strategically, including on those issues that are key to the BRICS agenda. Why am I talking about this? Because Russia is taking over the BRICS presidency, and I am sure that we will do everything to ensure that the so-called world majority feels that it is not just the majority in terms of the number of inhabitants of our countries, but that it is the majority in terms of its development prospects. As for our direct relations with Latin American countries, I would highlight several things that I consider priority. These relations are, firstly, friendly, constructive and mutually beneficial. They develop on the basis of equality and mutual consideration of interests. Trade turnover between Russia and Latin America has increased by 25% over the past 5 years. Russian exports have increased 2.3 times, and of such goods that Latin American countries need, wheat, fertilizers, petroleum products, and many other vital goods. These are generally our traditional markets. The further development of reciprocal trade exchanges, without a doubt, is facilitated by a more vigorous transition in financial transactions to national currencies, building channels of credit and banking cooperation, and establishing new transport and logistics chains. As for the financial sector, we recently hosted the Russia-Africa Summit in St. Petersburg, and African leaders casually said that the total debt burden on Africa is over $1 trillion. It is simply impossible to pay given the level of economic development of these countries. Why am I saying this? I say this because modern financial and credit relations are structured in the world in such a way that they serve exclusively the interests of the so-called golden billion. This golden billion, or more precisely, the leaders of these countries of the golden billion, they exploit almost all other countries of the world. They abuse their position, technological, informational, and financial. They have built international financial institutions in such a way, and they are introducing such rules into the sphere of financial and economic activity, that it is beneficial almost only to them. I want to emphasize this. It all looks pretty good. But ultimately all these rules and institutions serve the interests of this golden billion, of course. We need to think about this. We are thinking about this, including within the framework of the organization that I already mentioned, within the framework of BRICS. But I am sure, I know about this. That Latin American integration associations are also thinking about this and discussing these issues. These loan obligations, which are formulated in many developing markets, are no longer even in the form of some kind of loan obligations. They are some kind of quitrent. You understand? This is some kind of indemnity. Well, it shouldn't be. Therefore, altogether, joining forces, we must change the rules in this international sphere. Our common assets include a number of large, mutually beneficial investment and high-tech projects. For example, I will remind you that these are just some examples that the Center for Nuclear Research and Technology is currently being built in Bolivia with the participation of Russia. Biopharmaceutical joint ventures are expanding their activities in Nicaragua and Venezuela. A metallurgical plant is being modernized in Cuba. These are just some examples. Our friendly attitude towards the countries of this region is reflected in the fact that we are always ready to come to the aid of Latin Americans, and we always extend a helping hand and support in overcoming the devastating consequences of natural disasters in the fight against terrorism, extremism, organized crime, and drug trafficking. A high level of cooperation is maintained with the states of Latin America and the humanitarian sphere. The number of countries with which we have a visa-free regime is consistently growing. It currently covers 27 Latin American countries. This opens up new opportunities for business, scientific and cultural exchanges, and for increasing oncoming tourist flows. Now there are almost 5,000 Latin American students studying in our country, while the annual quota for their admission to budget places in Russian universities is also increasing this academic year. We also train professional personnel for national law enforcement agencies of Latin American countries. Russian Latin American projects in medicine and healthcare, and ensuring biological and epidemiological safety, are being implemented with good results. During the coronavirus pandemic, our country was one of the first to supply large quantities of vaccines, test systems, sanitary and hygiene products, and other medical and humanitarian supplies to Latin America, and of course, I must say, dear friends, that we know that about 300,000 immigrants from Russia and the USSR live in Latin America. Many of them have fully integrated into the life of their new countries, and some continue to live in their Russian communities, preserving their national spiritual culture, language, and identity, and we are grateful to you. I want to emphasize this. I want to say it specifically to you, parliamentarians, because you represent the interests of your constituents, and I ask that you convey these words of gratitude to those people with whom you work in the territories of your countries. We are grateful to our Latin American partners. citizens of your countries for their attention to the needs and interests of our Russian compatriots, for the memory of the role Russian people played in the formation of some state institutions of the countries of the continent, in the development of their economy, culture and art, and, concluding my speech, I would like to emphasize that I believe it is very correct and timely to intensify the interparliamentary format of relations between Russia and Latin American states. The support of legislators is indeed in demand on many issues related to the further expansion of multifaceted Russian-Latin American ties. This is precisely what the current Russia-Latin America International Parliamentary Conference is aimed at. And let me sincerely wish you, the participants of these events, the organizers, successful work and all the best, and, of course, I want to wish you, as parliamentarians, success in your noble activities in your countries. Thank you very much. Welcome to Russia. All the best. Thank you.